Hi, I'm Sarah Germain. I'm the Deputy CEO of Caval. We're coming to you today from beautiful Naarm, and this is the Caval Shelf Matters podcast. I'd like to welcome Hugh Rundle from the La Trobe University Library. Hugh, I've known you for so long, and we were trying to work out before we started recording when we actually met. And I actually think it was way back in 2017, 2018, because that's when I ran the Open Glam mini conference. But then we kind of knew each other in the Twitter sphere, and you did lots of cool things. And I was wondering if you could tell me just a little bit about the cool stuff that you've been doing.
So I'm a librarian. I currently work at La Trobe University, but when we met, I would have been in public libraries, and I also probably had started New Cardigan by then, I think, or maybe we were just about to, I'm not sure. So that's a glamour group, which it's an offline social network.
Offline?
Yes.
What do you mean by offline?
You can go onto Twitter or Mastodon or Facebook or something, and you can do social networking online, or you can join New Cardigan and you can meet people in MeetSpace and network with them face to face.
And so you do lots of community work as well. So you've mentioned New Cardigan, but do you do any other community work? I know that you've done some Vala stuff in the past.
Yes, I would have. I'm not a member of the Vala organising committee anymore, but I would have been when we met, and I was on the Vala committee for a long time, about 8 years, I think. That was really interesting. That was sort of where I learned how non-profit organisations work and how professional organisations operate, how to be on a committee or a board, what sort of decisions are made, how conferences are organised. Really learned a whole bunch at Vala. Beg your pardon.
And then you joined at Caval.
Then I got the two acronyms mixed up forever in my head. Yes, then I joined Caval, and worked with Caval for a couple of years in a role that was very much about working with members and running events and professional development opportunities for the staff of the member organisations. We ran a couple of seminars and the mentoring program, and that was heaps of fun.
And so what's sort of a common theme that you're seeing through to the three organizations, so Caval, Vala, New Cardigan? Was there anything common amongst the three?
Community organizing, which probably is a useful way of thinking about it. There's always very enthusiastic people who don't actually have as much capacity as they would like to, and so you have to be careful with those people to harness their energy but help them to not burn out. So sometimes you have to pull people back. There are always people who want to be involved, but you kind of get the impression sometimes they just want to be involved so that they can slow everything down. So those two are sort of the opposite of each other. And I think probably the two big things I've noticed across the board are most people are really helpful and just want someone to give them a job to do, and then they'll go ahead and do it, and they're just happy to help. The second thing, which I often talk about when people ask me about New Cardigan in particular, is that organising people is a little bit different, but organising events or activities is actually much simpler than people make it.
Yes. People tend to overcomplicate
things.
They do. And it's interesting because you and I have done some, I guess, organising of events through Linux Australia with, you know, the Go Glam piece. And I think people tend to overcomplicate the way that an event needs to be, right? Because we talk about, you know, we need the exhibitor stands and we need speakers. And the one thing that I was always taught was that the top three things that you need are speakers, a venue and attendees. That's it.
That was really the premise of New Cardigan initially. It started because I was, you know, I was a frustrated mid-career librarian who felt that my existing professional organisations weren't doing enough to organise events. Now, whether that was fair or not, I don't know, but that's how I felt. Thankfully, we kind of organically just very quickly learned that that's exactly right. Those are the three key ingredients and everything else will just come together. So it's always been participants first, then you create a reason for them to get together, and then you find somewhere to go.
So when you say we, how many people are on the New Cardigan committee?
Currently there's four on the formal organising committee. We've We've had five previously, four or five. I think five is the magic number. Three is not enough. Four is pretty good. But with five, somebody can be unavailable for a couple of months for whatever reason and you can get by. You've got a tiebreaker if, you know, you've got two on either side of an argument. And more than five, is it just becomes unwieldy. But having said that, when we first started, it was a totally informal organisation. So we didn't technically have an organising committee. We just had a bunch of friends.
So what made you formalise that? Because, like you said, it was just a bunch of friends getting together.
It's controversial, Sarah.
Oh, okay. I'm here for controversy.
If people ask me for advice now, and they have in recent times, I would tend to say don't formalise unless you absolutely have to. Because as soon as you formalise your organisation, you have all of these legal requirements and there's things you have to do and there's money you have to spend, there's government forms you have to fill in, and then it just all becomes really tedious and it's not fun anymore, and you're not finding the three things, right? You're doing all the other stuff. We formalised because we thought we might want to run a conference, actually, which meant we would need a bank account, which wasn't just, you know, my bank account or something. You know, you need insurance, and then you're like, well, do I want to be personally liable for all these things? So if you're running some big thing where you don't necessarily want to be, you know, there's legal things involved and you don't want one person to be sort of legally and financially responsible for everything, then that's when you would formalize. If you're just organizing casual get-togethers, I mean, it's like organizing a birthday party. You know, you don't form the Sarah Germain Birthday Party Association.
I need to do that now.
Possibly. I don't know how big your birthdays are.
Not big at all. But it's interesting because I come from the Linux Australia perspective, yes. Which is we don't run our own conferences. We actually enable others to run the conferences, right? And does that sort of model help, I guess, remove that governance structure
yes.
that you're applying?
Yes. So Linux Australia has the Auspice model, yes? Which I think is really interesting and kind of unique in a way. I think it really depends how you're thinking about things. So in New Cardigan, for a year or so, we sort of got caught up with dreams of grandeur, and we were like, oh, we have to expand into every state and have a organising committee there, and oh, we'll have a, you know, a Perth branch and a Sydney branch. And then after a few months, we sort of looked at each other and thought, well, what are we doing? Why? Why is it, you know, this is not important to us. You have to be clear about what your goals are. So for Linux Australia, obviously, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming there's been a lot of thinking done there and they've thought, okay, well, the best way to further our aims is to let the various communities within open source put all their energies into the things they're good at, which is finding like-minded people and working out what's going to be an interesting talk and organising that side of things. And the things that nobody really likes doing that are really boring, like organising insurance and filling in government forms and talking to banks, it's a lot more efficient if you just do that centrally.
Yeah, and that's how we started, right, is that there was this one guy, he started the Linux conference on his credit card, and he suddenly went, oh, I've made all this money, I don't know what to do with it, I need to create a bank account. Linux Australia kind of happened, and then we kept making these profits from these conferences, not that we were striving to make money, but the money had to go somewhere. So then we're like, well, let's just run more conferences. And so we're running all these different sorts of conferences to help enable people to do what they love doing, and that's sharing what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I think maintaining those sort of communities has become hard, and I'm not sure if it's affected New Cardigan at all with COVID and I guess the decentralization of social media. We used to be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Now we're everywhere but. How do you kind of bring those people back together again? And maybe it is just about the face-to-face events.
Well, I'd love to know the answer to that question, to be honest. I think COVID was, and I do want to come back to this question of Auspice versus another model in a second. But to answer your question, COVID was really bad for New Cardigan. I guess it's the sort of people we are. We sort of felt, okay, it's our responsibility to keep the community together We were all based, or nearly all based in Melbourne at the time, and still are. Melbourne was hit really hard with lockdowns. Mm. What we found was we were doing a lot of online things, but it moved from being a community that was doing things together and having conversations and meeting up to almost like a broadcasting organisation. We really felt like we were just pushing stuff out there and we had no idea if anyone was even engaging with it at all, which was quite demotivating. And we were all exhausted. And so, yeah, there was definitely a lull, but it was actually not in the sort of first year of COVID. We were actually probably more active than we had been previously, just not doing face-to-face things. So I think the splintering of social media has definitely had an impact. I think we were probably a little bit cushioned from that in some ways compared to some other organisations, because we were always sceptical about relying on corporate platforms too much. So we've had our own mailing list pretty much from the start, and that's completely controlled by our own infrastructures, and word of mouth has always been pretty big for us. So,
and so what are some of the gaps that you might have seen as a common thread across, you know, Caval or Vala or New Cardigan or even Linux Australia?
I think one of the things that's tricky with volunteer organisations of any type is, what would I call it? Onboarding, I guess, is maybe a way of putting it. You have a new person who turns up, they look at what you're doing and they say, wow, this looks great, this is for me, I want to get involved. And you need to have a really easy on-ramp for those people to get involved and then stay involved. And I think what often happens is there's either no way for them to do that at all, or there's a way, but it's kind of, it's not really very meaningful. It's a thing that we've sort of gone, oh, well, we need something for people to do, so we'll give them this thing, but there's sort of nowhere to go after that initial step.
What's the pure joy that you get out of joining all of these organisations, right? Or why do you keep contributing?
Oh, I ask myself that often, Sarah. Part of it is I just like meeting people who are interested in the same things I am. And I don't think I'm particularly unique in that regard. I mean, that's why we have new people, you know, that's why you keep getting new people at Linux Australia, that's why we see people at New Cardigan, that's why there's always new people coming to Vala events. You know, people like being around other people who are interested in the same sort of thing as them. So in some ways it's that simple. I think part of it is just probably my upbringing, to be honest. You contribute and...
be a good citizen.
Be a good citizen, exactly. And, I mean, I've had a lot of really good mentors over the years, I guess, and one of the pieces of advice that I've just heard over and over again is this sort of idea that if you want something to happen and it's not happening, then you're going to have to be the person to step up and create it.
Last year we ran the Everything Open conference through Linux Australia, and there was this one volunteer that came through Vala of all places because they saw an ad for volunteers. And they had never talked to anyone in the Linux community before. And they decided to volunteer for this random conference out of nowhere. They flew down from Brisbane and they put in a lightning talk, right? And lightning talks aren't, well, it's not easy because you're doing it really quickly in a 5-minute time span in front of all these people you've got no clue about, right? This volunteer had everyone sing along to this one song, and it was this heartwarming moment that I went, this is why I'm doing this, because it's like everyone's here, they're joining, they're loving it. Do you have those sort of moments?
Oh yeah.
What brings me back and what makes me feel really good about it is when they say, I'm so glad that this thing exists, you know, this is so great, you know, I love New Cardigan, or I love coming to Vala events, or, you know, this is the best conference I've ever been to, you know, those sorts of things. You just think, oh yes, it really is worth all of the other things that are sort of, you know, less fun.
So you mentioned just briefly about the difficult stuff, like the things that you may not have necessarily enjoyed as much as, you know, those light bulb moments or the community moments. What sort of, without going into too much detail, obviously, because sometimes it might be a little bit sensitive, but has there been any situations where you've just gone, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, and just walk away?
Of course. I mean, people, Sarah, people are amazing, people are awesome, and people are also frustrating and awful and annoying.
Yes. Especially in a group, right? Is that they can suddenly just pounce.
If you're not very clear about articulating what you're trying to do and how you want to do it, you're almost inevitably going to have conflict at some point. And that makes sense. If you're the official organisation for whatever and it's got your logo on it, then you need to do some reputation management. And you're representing, you're actually kind of representing something that's bigger than your organisation, because you're, you know, so if you're ALIA, or if you're the Australian Society of Archivists, or if you're W3C or whatever, then you're representing yourself as an organisation. But the whole point of the organisation is you're representing something bigger than the organisation. And so you naturally have to be, there'll be a tendency towards conservatism. But New Cardigan certainly isn't. We've always been very clear. We don't represent anything except for we're just a bunch of people. And that gives you a lot of flexibility. The key thing is knowing what your community wants, who they are, and what your values are. Why can an organisation like Linux Australia run an auspice model, whereas an organisation that is a professional association, for example? So if you're the Australian Society of Archivists, for example, you have official state branches, you might have an official subcommittee on a particular topic. They will want to have some control over how those local branches and interest groups operate in a much more hands-on way than simply saying, oh no, we're just an auspice, we'll just manage your bank account, you do whatever you want, you know, just don't embezzle any money. It's not the same, because if the local branch makes some official statement, then it's the ASA, right? It's and then every archivist in the country is basically associated with that activity.
From a Linux Australia perspective, I think as soon as we start putting in those formal sort of structures, we lose that grassroots nature of things, right? Like, yes. We lose the volunteer aspect, because we'll have to start hiring people, and then where does that money stop, right? We start paying for an executive director, and then we start paying for event organisers. That removes grassroots, let's just try things out and see how it goes kind of model, right?
The tension between professionalizing and maintaining the volunteer energy. So once you've got enough paid professional staff, it's like, great, now we can do things. We've got people who can work on this full time. They're not trying to do it in their spare time. This is what they're experts at. This is fantastic. But the flip side of that is then you lose some of the community control. You have to sort of cede authority to people who are, well, what are they? Becomes a question, is this person a staff member who's directed by us? Or it kind of feels like we're taking direction from them. It can get very messy. And so you've really got to be careful about who's steering the ship and where are the levers of power really. And people don't want to talk about this, because people don't like talking about power, because it feels gross. If you don't have a really clear-eyed discussion before you make some decisions, then it can unravel.
So what would you say to a brand new person into the industry, or that wants to get into career, like to community work? What advice would you give them, or what tools would you give them?
Do it, because you will learn so much. It'll really enrich your life. You'll meet heaps of really interesting people. You'll learn lots of skills. The other thing, though, is to think very carefully about what your limits are and what your values are. I don't think there's any shame in leaving an organising group before. Usually there's some kind of tenure, you know, you're elected or you're invited on for a certain period of time. There's no shame in leaving early. If it's not working for you, it's not good for anybody for you to be there, because you've got to some sense of responsibility, especially if it's a conflict over values.
Knowing when to be done is quite a key thing, because sometimes you could be there for far too long.
Yeah, sometimes people get stale, but also, I mean, I've seen lots of people get burnt out, and that's not good for anybody.
So I guess going back to that, one of the original questions was, what can organisations do to help that person?
So the sort of thing that organisations often do for strategic planning, I actually think there would be great value in organisations running a similar process, but specifically not for strategic planning the way we often think about it. So what we're often doing is we call it strategic planning, and what we mean is we're going to decide what we're doing for the next 1 to 2 years. What are the activities we're going to do? That's usually what we mean. But I think it would be hugely valuable for organisations to set aside the same kind of time with the same groups of people to do some reflection, basically. Are our values still, do we all still agree on what the values of the organisation is? What's the purpose of the organisation? Do we still all agree on that? What in the bigger picture are we trying to achieve here? And then sort of look back to what you've been doing. Is this actually the way we've been behaving? Is this, are we set up in the right way to achieve these things?
I gave a talk a couple of years ago at a Linux conference about what does Linux Australia do all year? And it actually went into, you know, we're not just meeting once a fortnight just for funsies. We're meeting to talk about the insurance. We're getting 3 quotes for the insurance. We're discussing things with venues and doing a lot of the governance structure type stuff that people don't necessarily see because they just see this fancy conference that they turn up to. Then they go home and they kind of forget about the cogs that sort of happen in the background and the wheels that are turning. And when I'd done that talk, people were like, I didn't realise that you had to talk to accountants and bookkeepers and auditors. And so exposing that kind of had people sort of go, well, how can I help? How can I take some of that pressure off? And that gave them an easy on-ramp into the organisation, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I guess that's sort of the expanded version of what we were talking about earlier about onboarding.
So to help you give a bit of a plug for New Cardigan, what's in store for New Cardigan?
This year we've got an event coming up very soon. I can't give too many details about it, but hopefully first week of April we've got another in-person event in Melbourne, and we will be trying to get that into as close to a monthly cycle again as we can. That'll take a little bit of time to get going, but as I was saying earlier, I think once you get into the rhythm of things, it becomes easier. We're reinvigorating Cardicast, which is our podcast. We'll be moving to a season approach this year, so we'll run, 3 to 5 episodes in fairly close succession, and then we might have a little bit of a break, and then another 3 to 5, and they'll be themed. We won't be recording events, but we'll be doing a lot of interviews with people and some themed things. We've got a Discord channel, which we very much welcome people popping onto whenever they want to. It's basically open all the time, and we'll be opening up. So I'm not a massive Discord user, so I don't know what it's called, but whether it's a channel or something, but basically spaces specifically for each of our in-person events so that people can sort of chat before and after and during on the Discord. That's something we picked up from fan communities of various types. So yeah, that's what's happening this year. And of course we have our fortnightly newsletter. So if you want to know what else is going on, just go to newcardigan.org. and sign up for the newsletter, and you will find out about all things glamour in Australia. And if you have anything you want to tell people about, then just go to that website and find our email address and send us an email or contact us somehow, and pop it in the newsletter.